Next on the agenda is state board business. To center our work around our vision, our mission, our guiding principles, the state board has agreed to revisit these items at each meeting for those who may be attending. The information is available on our website and our e-board site, as well as on screen at the moment. First, committee and meeting reports. There was an opportunity for members to provide information and written reports made available on e-board on any events or committee meetings attended since the last meeting. Would anybody like to share anything further?
Yeah, I have a couple of things that I'd like to share, starting first with the NASB annual conference in San Diego that our executive director and I had the opportunity to attend. I think with so many conferences of this sort, you come back energized and just wanting to do so many of the things that you've heard at this particular conference. It was no different. We were very honored to be able to share the work that Delaware has been doing around early literacy. We were part of a panel along with Massachusetts and New York, but we appeared to be the envy of many of the other states that were in attendance because of the legislation that Delaware has in place that supports our literacy efforts. And so that was a real plus for us. The first 2 days were just absolutely inspiring to learn what some of the other states were doing around literacy and numeracy. We had a great hands-on activity on making math fun and how to approach young students with very fun hands-on activities to get them to believe that, yes, they too can do math, because math can be intimidating. And especially for girls, it may be intimidating. So this encouraged them that this could be a fun activity. We also had an opportunity to visit an elementary school in San Diego that has a fabulous program for pre-K youth. It's called their Universal Transition Kindergarten, or UTK. And it was absolutely amazing at Florence Elementary School to see four-year-olds in a classroom setting getting a head start on their literacy skills and on their math skills. And the better thing, and this, I'd love to see this in Delaware, Dr. Holodick. The day that we were there, we found that they were dismissing at noon. And because California has established partnerships with the YMCA and other social services providers, the students that could go home did go home, but the students that needed childcare went to these additional childcare providers, so that once a week, teachers would have a dedicated afternoon to sit with their teams and plan and have professional development. I just looked at that and said, wow, I'd love to see that in Delaware, as well as the Universal Transitional Kindergarten. It was absolutely amazing to see what these four-year-olds were able to achieve. They were just, I can't tell you how many different sessions were just so inspiring. Linda Darling Hammond was the keynote speaker, and I'm a big fan. So it was wonderful to hear her focus on the whole child as being a necessary building block for continued growth in education. We were also very honored to have our executive director doing a presentation at the presiding officer's meeting about the state board's strategic planning efforts as being one service that NASB offers. We heard as well from Rebecca Peterson, who was the National Teacher of the Year, and again, listening to her practices, you could clearly see why she was selected as the National Teacher of the Year. Another piece that got me thinking was taking a look at New York's efforts to redefine what a student needs to graduate. And Gus, you might be interested in this, that New York, along with Kentucky and a number of other states, are creating what they call a pupil profile. And that this profile then defines the necessary skill sets they'll need to be successful once they graduate from high school. And it's causing some of the states to change their graduation requirements. That by doing community outreach and engaging more than just current educational practitioners, but getting out into the community, speaking with students to see what they think they might need upon graduation. New York has spent 2 years on this project, and they are redesigning or rethinking their education requirements for graduation. And they weren't able to give us an answer at that point, but they are considering getting rid of the Regents exam, which really surprised me because that's been around since, gosh, a long time. So it was really interesting to hear from them. And Kentucky, who also did a presentation on Portrait of a Learner and what people are thinking. I think it would be possibly an engaging discussion for us to find out from the public what they believe a learner needs upon graduation. If you think back a few meetings ago, I had spoken about project-based learning as being a focus of NASB, and we were very fortunate to see a screening of a documentary called The First Class about a high school in Memphis, Tennessee that adopted project-based learning. And it was new to the staff, it was new to the students. And, you know, it by no means was a fairy tale, oh, they did it 1 year and all was well. No, it was a struggle the first year, but it did show the students learning, even though they didn't think they were with this new strategy, but test shows that they were, but how many were able to graduate and obtain scholarships to go to college. Tied in with that, as part of the CSAC process, in learning that First State Military Academy is doing PBL. Once we get through CSAC, I am very interested in going to visit them and see how exactly they're implementing PBL as part of their strategy. And then finally, as part of the business meeting, just to let you know, I was elected as the Northeast Region Representative for the Nominations Committee. So I will be serving our Northeast region with that. The other thing I did want to mention was today's meeting, that was the Accelerate Literacy meeting. Very, very well done. Dr. Gant gave, I think, a really excellent presentation today as to what Delaware's current landscape was around our literacy efforts. But it was beneficial to hear from Reading Assist as well as the Accelerate group in terms of what they are studying, what they are looking to do. Based upon the comments made today, it's an action research process that is taking place because they're still trying to determine what type of high dosage tutoring works best. Yes, they've seen great strides made with one-to-one face-to-face high dosage tutoring, but it should be individualized to students. That some students could potentially do face-to-face, but as well some online with either somebody on the computer with them, working with them through this process, or other means using AI. There are a number of different types of tutoring that they were talking about that they're studying, but the big thing is collecting data. And that is one of the things that the gentleman from Accelerate stressed very much with us, was the importance of collecting the data so that we know what strategy works best, and then we have the ability to go forward with that. So The important thing too is that was made clear to us from the representative from Reading Assist that schools can't do it alone. That one of the things that was mentioned was that many students who are scheduled to have remedial efforts only get a small fraction of the remedial efforts that they would really need. That where, for example, a student might need 70 hours of tutoring. If they, in a year, if they get 11, they're lucky. That there just isn't the in-school staff to provide that. And that's where groups like Reading Assist and Amplify come in, because they can provide the high dosage tutoring that these students need. And hopefully within the school day, one of the pieces that they highlighted was that if it's provided within the school day, they're there. They're there at the school. They don't have to try to capture them after school or on a weekend or possibly in the summer, so that they really presented some interesting concepts. And so it will be, I think, very interesting to see how this plays out in Delaware schools as we go forward with the Accelerate grant. And that's all I've got.
Impressive. Congratulations on your new title.
I was guilted into it.
I'm sure Kathleen helped in that. Sure that. I just have a couple things. How about those Delmar Wildcats girls field hockey team, 8th state championship in a row? We're talking about dynasty now. I think we're fair to say that enough. Actually, that's all I had. The rest of it's in a tight report, and yeah. I cannot trump Deb. I mean, she's got me.
This is Wiley. I just have a comment and a question about both of your reports. First, I'll start with you, President Brittingham. That's always good. Inspired by your enthusiasm for Delmar.
I can't hear you. What you're saying.
your consistent enthusiasm for the Wildcats. I appreciate it. To Deb, I was curious about two things. Well, you said a lot of really extraordinary and interesting things, but the first that I wanted to ask you about is this Regents exam you mentioned, which you seemed to get Secretary's attention to, about it being sort of being reconsidered. What is that? Is that like the equivalent of some type of assessment test that you know, akin to the SAT? Or just help me kind of appreciate why that's something that was notable.
It was a state exam that was developed by New York and needed for graduation. And so, you know, it's, as I said, it's been in place forever. And there was much resistance in the past for eliminating it. But I think now that New York, after having gone through their 2-year process, I failed to mention, they were using WestEd as advisors in going through this community engagement and rethinking process. And I think that is what's spurring the reconsideration, that, you know, does this test really demonstrate the skill sets that people have said students need in order to be successful after graduation? It ties into another session that I attended that was sponsored by the CEO of code.org. Who maintained that we should be including computer science and coding into our schools as a mandatory subject for graduation, that students would be far more successful if they had coding, and far more developed for going into jobs of the future if they understood computer science and if they had a background in coding, which is not something that you would find, for example, on the Regents test.
I that's certainly that's the that's great context, and I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole. Maybe you can talk offline, but I'm very curious about what I'm hearing from this conversation, others, about an openness to explore new ways of assessing, and also determining how our students are prepared to enter into the workforce, and what is holding back everyone from embracing change. And you know, I'm very curious, particularly about the business sector's interest in embracing and accelerating these new assessment mechanisms that seem to be centered on skills that are necessary for the current workforce, as opposed to our traditional notions of what we think produce a someone who's ready, whose career and, you know, a college ready, so to speak. So that's an interesting conversation. We can explore our interests perhaps offline. My second point was more of a comment to you. That's a lot of work that both you and Kathleen did. Certainly going down, I'm sure it was interesting, but it is a lot of work. And I just appreciate you all going out and representing Delaware and consistently making sure that we have a presence on a national stage, and then coming back and taking on more responsibility moving forward. So just thank you all for doing that, and recognize that's a sacrifice, and but it's appreciated.
Thank you, Wally.
Yeah, I would like to echo that sentiment too. I do sense the enthusiasm coming back from San Diego. So thanks for sharing and energizing, you know, the board and even the department, you know, so just appreciate that. Let me ask you a question as it relates to, were there any conversation or seminars or information on, I guess, one of our principles about equitable opportunities for educational opportunities for students, the disproportionate outcomes in race, ethnicity, socioeconomic conditions, and residence?
I think that those elements were thread through a lot of the conversations, you know, and very clearly when we were looking at the early literacy and early childhood elements on day one and two, it was very clear that it was built in a way to provide equity for students to learn. I go back to the school that we visited, the Florence Elementary School, and seeing lessons being taught to all students in different languages, so that not only were the students learning their reading skills in English, but since the population there was very much Spanish, Latino, that they were learning lessons in their native tongue as well, and learning, yeah, and it was all students learning, you know, that very clearly they wanted to give every child that went to Florence Elementary in the UTK program an equitable start to learning. And I was just, as I said, I was just blown away by the program.
Great, thank you.
Anybody else? Gus?
Just have one quick thing. Our student virtual forum is set for Wednesday, November 29th at 6 o'clock, open to all high school students. And the main focus will be on mental health this first inaugural meeting.
Excellent. Good luck.
Thank you.
Goes well for you.
Gus, could you repeat that one more time? I'm sure we have that in our emails and things, but I just want to write it down. Could you just state the date again?
Wednesday, November 29th at 6 o'clock.
Okay. And where did you say it was located?
It's a virtual forum, so it's on WebEx.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I was wondering, do we have the ability to connect directly with student groups in the different high schools so that the information gets out to everybody?
Yes, we do. We do have that ability.
Great.
Yeah, like I say, good luck with that, and I hope you have a large attendance.
Thank you very much.
If there's nothing else, we'll move on to our executive director's report. At this time, Ms. Smith will provide an update on her work to support board priorities since the last meeting.
Thank you. I just want to highlight the same things that Vice President Stevens highlighted and that Gus Muzyka highlighted here. And we are just in the initial stages of getting out the advertising about the online forum. So we did meet with, and I want to express thanks to Dr. Malik Muhammad for meeting with Gus and I on Monday morning and just giving us some ideas and just hearing what our goals were. And I'm appreciative to him for that. So we will continue to advertise on social media, and it appeared in the principal's memo on Tuesday. I met with the Chief Larimore, Chief of the Chiefs, and he was going to follow up with the other superintendents and charter leaders to make sure that the forum is well advertised there.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Smith? Next is the Secretary's report. Secretary Holodeck?
Yes, you have my submitted written report. I'm going to just sort of go completely off script based on what I've heard tonight, which is a robust conversation about improving outcomes for kids, which I think is awesome. And we all have a role to play in that. I'm pointing out some things that based on questions that have been asked or comments that made, number of people have shared out tonight about experiences at conferences and some fantastic things that they've seen. I'm in that category. I've been to a couple of conferences in the last few weeks, one with the Southern Regional Education Board with Pathways, and then I just got back last night from CCSSO policy convening, where I too heard, from various states about Portrait of a Graduate, et cetera, right? All amazing stuff. The obvious challenge in the system is that I think we all want our schools, districts, and state to be innovative and forward thinking. At the same time, we're hearing directly from many educational leaders, educators themselves, even students and families, stop adding more to our plates. The one thing we're not good at in education is taking things away. We are really good at adding, not so good at taking away. And so the department, I think, in the state board play a key role in determining what important levers need to be pulled. That is far easier, I realize, to say than to actually do, right? So an example, I would love coding to be embedded, and it is in many of our high schools, by the way, they have coding classes, et cetera. But as a requirement, I think if we went out to our business community, that would potentially be something they would want to see done. This is a very bureaucratic system that we work within in Delaware state government. Federal government has requirements around testing, et cetera. And so I think folks are reluctant to be innovative on one hand because they're afraid of what could be a perception or sort of an accountability measure. And then the other is, in taking things off the plate, somebody's teaching something that's not going to be taught next year if you put in additional requirements. So legislation is likely to be advanced this year. I don't know if it'll pass or not, but it's an active conversation in Delaware, like it is in many states, around financial literacy. Representative Holofsky is very passionate about financial literacy. Hard for anyone to say financial literacy isn't key, but making a credit for graduation, well, that raises other unique challenges, right? So just using that I could use a number of examples as things that we would all likely say, yeah, that's a great idea. We should try that. The challenge is in making it happen. And I think you as a group, working with the department, are in a great position to say which one of these levers, because there are a lot of levers. Question is, which ones do we pull? And so if we can, a couple of times a year, have some time as a board to just carve out space for that kind of like just conversation, mm-hmm. not this, it, there has to be necessarily a decision made as much as, hey, let's talk about things such right. as where you guys can submit. I would love that because a lot of really, really good questions asked tonight and some really good ideas floated. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
We like it. We would we'd appreciate that opportunity also. I'm speaking for myself, but I'm sure the board
mm-hmm. would you too.
Be anxious to work on that. Like yep. you said, there's nothing taken off.
No,
yeah. put a little bit more on there
every
chance we get. Excellent. Thank you. Any questions for Secretary Holliday? All right, then. Next is formal public comment. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. Ms. Smith, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Well, thank you. Next, we will move to an appeals. This is executive session. Is there a motion to move to executive session to discuss appeal 2024-03?
Wally Rush.
Stevens has made a motion. I need a second.
Wally Rushton, second.
Rushton, second. We are now in executive. I mean, any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. We will now move to the library conference room to start our executive session.